All right, everybody, thanks for joining us. We are going to get started here. I'll give you a quick heads up. Calls are light, but questions are starting to come in pretty heavy. Still time, though. If you've got a question, a comment, a topic, anything at all you want to talk about, press 1 on your phone. If you do it right now, we'll get to you. If you wait, we might not. I'll keep you updated on that. Here we go.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry.
This is Trucking Business
and Beyond, the show that puts the money where it belongs,
back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. The show is all about the business of trucking. We take your calls and answer your questions about trucks, money, fuel mileage, maintenance, tires, taxes, technology, health and fitness on the road, getting started as an owner-operator, finding freight, working with brokers, really anything at all. If you've got a question, pick up the phone, give me a call. We'll talk about it here on the air. I'm going to get to those calls in just a couple minutes. Winter is coming. We're starting to see some flurries, some colder weather. It's time to get your truck ready. One of the things you absolutely want to check out, this is one of my favorite products for wintertime, the Maxwell Engine Start Module. You can find it in our store. Just an amazing way to make sure you don't need a jump start or you are not stuck with a dead battery. If you've got any questions about it, give me a call here. We'll talk about it. I think I'm going to jump right into some phone calls today. We're going to head off to Virginia. Trent, welcome to the program.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's on your mind?
Let's see if you could take a look at my oil sample. It ain't pretty.
Let's see what we've got. Oh, it is kind of pretty. It's nice and colorful.
Yeah,
so you know what? It's not as bad as it seems, though. What we've got is just this cascading effect. There's really only one problem in the sample, and it's causing all the others. So once we clear that up, the rest of it should be fine. It just looks bad. How much oil is this engine consuming? How often do you have to put in a gallon?
I was down to 2,000 miles per gallon. I took it off of the Rotella and put it back in the Chevron Dello, and it's about 2,500 miles. I'm thinking about putting it on mineral oil just to limp into next year before.
I would get mineral oil back in it, and I see you've got a note here about a gallon of Lucas. I would go back to the mineral oil, continue with the Lucas, but we're looking at an in-frame. In fact, our biggest problem in the sample right now is the fuel dilution, but that is being compounded by the fact that the cylinder kits are just shot. I mean, any excess fuel in the cylinder is ending up in the crankcase. And I'm hesitant to even start screwing around with injectors because you really are just very close to an in-frame. I mean, the sooner you get it done, the better off you're going to be. Can you make it till next year? You probably could. You know, the oxidation is being caused by the blow-by. Some of the fuel dilution is being compounded by the blow-by. You may have an injector leaking. The rest of it, the wear metals are because of the fuel. So we've got a little bit of lead. We're starting to see some copper, which means we're getting into the bearings. We have chromium, which means we're wearing rings, and we've got iron. So it's just time. I mean, there's nothing, you know, horribly wrong. This is just a worn-out engine.
Yeah. All right. Now, one thing I wanted to ask you about was the weep hole that's on the front right of the motor.
Yeah.
That's been leaking. It's like molasses, only stickier.
And it's oil we're seeping?
Like I said, it's got the color of molasses when I put it on my fingers, but it's real tacky. And it's that weep hole that's, if it's on the right-hand side, towards the front of the motor.
Yeah, what we might be getting is some varnished fuel. You know, fuel that's sitting in there and drying, and then we're getting more fuel coming behind it, and it's diluting and coming out. I really wouldn't pay a whole lot of attention to that right now. I don't think that's a big problem. Really, the issue here is it's just time to get this engine rebuilt. I mean, you could limp it along like this. Who knows? It could go 6 months. But it could also, you know, fail in a week. It's hard to say. Once we get an engine to this point, like I say, we can see we're starting into some bearings. So you want to keep an eye on your oil pressure. And just watch that. And if we see that really start to drop, then, you know, we're going to be that much closer. But the real story is you just got to get this in-frame done. The sooner the better. Limp it along.
I'm actually heading to Pittsburgh Power tomorrow. I was going to have to take a look at the fuel transfer pump, see if that was causing the fuel, but
want you to do is spend $3,000 chasing the fuel dilution when it's just, we're still going to have a worn out engine.
Yeah. I guess I'll just go ahead and have them do that in frame then.
It really is time. And I know the timing may not be great for you, but the longer you try to push this, the more risk you're taking. We can see now that the cylinder kits are gone. The bearings are starting. So really the sooner the better on this one. Let's go to Ohio. Rusty, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. Good to talk to you again.
What's on your mind today?
Well, I have a couple of questions. One, our new opportunities come up. We're on a mileage contract right now where we're averaging $1.57 all miles. But one's come up where we can haul jet engines at 76%. And it just sounds like we'll make more money. Plus, being back and getting into a niche. The question I have is we need to buy a trailer. We'll have to buy a step deck. I've never bought a trailer. Any ideas on what I should be looking for when I'm looking for a used one? Or looking out for might be the best question.
Yeah, the good news is buying a trailer is a whole lot less complicated than buying a tractor. There are definitely some things we want to watch for, but I'll tell you, if you're not familiar with what you should be looking for, what I would do is just, and you're going to need this anyway, so start looking around for a good trailer shop in your area. Start building that relationship. Explain to them, hey, I'm in the market for a used trailer, and I want you to inspect it before I buy it. And while they're inspecting it, do it with them. And they can show you what, you know, depending on the brand of trailer, there are different stress points we're going to be looking for. Again, it's not real complicated. Frame and structure is what we really want to be careful about. You want to make sure you've got good structure and we don't have any damage to the frame itself. Everything else is pretty simple. I mean, even if we bought a trailer and both axles were wiped out, big deal. It's just not that expensive. You know, most stuff we need to fix on a trailer is not that expensive. We just want to make sure it's structurally sound.
Okay. Can I ask you a question about that diet?
Yeah.
Right now, we've cut down to where what we're doing is, bacon and eggs for breakfast and that, and salads and protein or meat for dinner. And is that anywhere close to what you're calling your ketogenic diet?
Yeah, you know, it really is. I mean, here's the first step in the ketogenic diet is to cut out sugar and starch. which we always classify as carbohydrates. Anytime we look at a label, anything with high carbohydrates is what we want to get rid of. We want to get our carbohydrates as low as possible in the beginning, and what you just described would do that. If you're eating bacon and eggs for breakfast and the rest of your meals are vegetables and protein, then I'm not hearing any carbohydrates. That's step one. Go ahead.
I guess my other question is, because I'm addicted to my sugar and my coffee and my sweet tea, how far off does that throw it?
Oh, that'll wipe you out quickly.
Okay.
You know, yeah, that'll wipe, because that's just pure sugar. I mean, that's,
yeah.
So, you know, one of the things you can try in the beginning, I mean, one way is just go cold turkey. Just stop putting it in there. The other one is to try alternative sweeteners in the beginning. Like, you can try some of the sugar alcohols. You'll always know those because they will end in T-O-L. Xylitol, mannitol. You can get some digestive issues with those, so you might want to do a little reading. You can try stevia. I would stay away from the artificial sweeteners, but Truvia is you might want to try that one. That's actually a combination of stevia and xylitol, I believe. Let me get to a break. I'll come back to you right after this. We'll talk about it. Stick around. I'm Kevin Roddenberry. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. I'm going to go back to Ohio. I was talking with Rusty. So, Rusty, there's a couple things you could. The other thing you could do is start reducing the amount of sugar you put in over time. One teaspoon of sugar, how much are you putting in your coffee?
Well, like my coffee, I usually put maybe basically a teaspoon a cup is what it would amount to, but I drink a 32-ounce cup every day. I looked it up. Sugar's like, it was 196 grams of carbohydrates per cup, so I did look that up. But I wasn't really
and
sure.
Just to get, well, you know, a teaspoon is four, let's call it 5 grams of carbs, a teaspoon. So that's not horrible. And what you're trying to do in the beginning to kind of jumpstart the ketosis is keep your total carbs for the day under 20. I mean, if you can stay under 20 on that, that is really, really good. If you're at 30 or 40, you're still probably going to be okay. So just figure that, you know, sugar into your total carbohydrate count for the day, and you'll be fine. I mean, if you use 2 or 3, you know, teaspoons of sugar a day and you're at 15 grams already, that doesn't leave a whole lot of room for anything else. The one place you will get carbohydrates from, but it's good, are vegetables. We won't eat a lot of vegetables. They're good for us. They're going to have some carbohydrates. So you just want to balance the total for the day and start cutting down on the sugar. The one thing we know is that craving for sugar is exactly that. It's a craving. And as you start to get off of it and do less and less, that craving will go away. In fact, you'll get to the point where you will become very sensitive to sugar and you won't even like it in there anymore.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it's coming from the South. And, you know, it's like,
oh, yeah.
Without sugar, there's just something wrong with it.
Yeah. Yeah. We do become, like I say, almost, you know, addicted to that sweet flavor, and you start to crave it. And that's one of the reasons they say not even to, you know, overdo the sugar substitutes, because your body will continue to want sweet things. Whether it's a sugar substitute or any kind of sweetener, And eventually, you know, that you can get off of that. And you either decide, I want to do a cold turkey and just be done with it, or you just do it slowly over time.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for your time, Kevin. As usual, you've been a lot of help.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for the call. We are heading off to Florida this time. Stuart, welcome to the program.
Hey, fair tax yesterday. You got me backing into a hole here. I'm having trouble getting that the little cab over I bought home. The shipping quotes are just outrageous. We're bordering on close to $3,300 to go from Houston, Texas, all the way out to Elk City, Oklahoma. And anyway, kind of wondering if you kind of suggest like a drive-off service, or if those are even still around, or you know, kind of give me some creative help here with this one.
Have you tried UShip yet?
No, I have not.
You know, here's the thing. UShip kind of has a lousy reputation from our side of the equation. When we're the ones that, you know, want to make money moving freight, UShip is just like every other internet-based auction service. It drives prices down. You know, when you make prices transparent, you make everybody bid on everything and you can see it, it drives prices down. Well, that's good for the consumer, not so good for the provider. So as an industry, we're not all that wild about UShip most of the time because it does drive prices down. But when you're in your position, that's exactly what you want. You're trying to get something moved at the cheapest price possible, and UShip would be a great place to start.
UShip in. All right. Well, I guess that's all I had for you today, Kevin.
Yeah, I'd give that a try. There are definitely a lot of drive-away companies still around, power only. That may not be your best bet in this case. I would start with UShip because you have access to all kinds of people there that might, although I'm not thinking that price is horrible, but you should be able to do better than that. Let's go to Oregon. Tim, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. How you doing, bud?
Doing great. What's on your mind today?
Hey, quick question. I've got an 05 Columbia Freightliner, and I've noticed that the airbags on the rear duals have slid in, and I've heard something that there's a U-bolt problem with those, and so I was wondering if you knew what that was and if there's a fix. Or
there is, and it's a pretty simple fix. What happens on those is over time the U-bolts actually stretch, and
okay,
then they allow the axle to shift, and that's one of the real common alignment problems we see on that truck. The best thing to do is just replace the U-bolts. Just get new U-bolts
okay
on it, realign the axle, tighten it down, and you're good.
Now, is there an alignment pin in there that, you move it back to, or is it something that a shop has to do? Or
No, it could be. I mean, I know a lot of people who can do this themselves. It's not that complicated. All we're just trying to do is get the axle repointed again in the right direction. But
right,
it's the U-bolts, and, you know, take them out, throw some new U-bolts in, get everything straight, tighten it down, and you're in good shape.
Okay, well, that seems like an easy fix. I can do that. So, well, thank you, Kevin. That's all I have for you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. You know, if you have questions like that and you want to get real detailed, you know, I've studied alignment, tire wear issues a lot. I've worked with Mike Beckett for, actually, I can say decades now. I've read both books. If you really want a specific answer on alignment tire wear issues, I'd love taking the questions here on the air. We also have the Rolling Toe podcast every Sunday night, and that is Mike Beckett and his son Kevin Beckett. They do a great job. They're entertaining, very informative. They can answer specific questions. You can take pictures and, you know, post them, and they'll look at the pictures. And that is a really good place to get your specific tire and alignment questions answered. The easiest place to find the schedule and the phone number on that is on the website at letstruck.com. Or you can also sign up for our text message service. So grab your phone or grab something to write with, and I'll tell you how to do that. The way the text message service works is once you sign up, I'm going to tell you how to sign up. It's real simple. Then every time we do a show, whether it's a recording or a podcast, we just send you a text message right to your phone, usually about 10 minutes before you can start dialing in. So the text message shows up. The phone number for the show is right there in the text message, and you don't have to remember anything. We'll just remind you. The easy way to do it, if you grab your phone right now, just like you would send a text message to anybody, but instead of putting in a phone number, you're going to put in what's called a short. So where you would put the phone number, you put this number. It's 99,000. Then in the body of the text, all you need is one word: listen. Don't worry about capitals or anything else. Just type in the word listen, hit send, and wait about 30 seconds. You should get a response, and that way you know you're in the system. So again, you just type the word listen to 99,000, and then we will send you a text message anytime we're getting ready to do a podcast or a recorded hour. So check out all of our podcasts, but again, that is a great resource. Now, the other thing I would highly recommend you do, Mike Beckett has two books that he wrote that are absolutely amazing when it comes to understanding tire wear and alignment. And they're easy to read, easy to understand. They have great diagrams, and you can get those in our store on the website at letstruck.com. So check those out, letstruck.com/store, and look for the MD alignment books. That there's two of them. Let me grab them here because I always keep them right next to my desk. One is Common Sense for the Common Man, and one is Truck Wheel Alignment, A Common Man's Guide. Again, really easy to understand. Mike did a great job on these books. Check them out. I'm going to get to a break. We'll be right back. Stick around. Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. We're going to get right back to some phone calls. Let's head off to Indiana. Daryl, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for taking my call.
What's on your mind
today? I've got a question about a truck. I've got a truck that I dropped the valve in number 4 cylinder. I'm trying to decide whether it's just the prepare it to sell it or kind of refurb it or even switch to a motor, a Detroit motor in it, like a crate motor. The truck's got like about 450,000 miles on it since it had a warranty, had all the liners and everything done inside of it. But it's still got the original heads and approaching a million miles on the motor itself.
So let me make sure I've got this right. So when was the in-frame done? How many miles were on it?
It was right about 450,000 miles ago. But the original head stayed on it because it was warranty work.
Yeah, I guess what I'm wondering, why did the cylinder kits fail so early? That would have been around 600,000 miles. What went wrong?
The number four cylinder had a valve bridge break in that original head and dropped the valve down in. It's just the number four cylinder that's got, you know, a hole in the liner and the cylinder all needs replaced. So I was trying to decide whether just to do that, sell the truck, or...
Tell me a little bit about the truck. What year?
It's a 03 Columbia with Mercedes motor.
Oh, well, that's why the engine needed rebuild at 600,000. That's pretty common on those. They had many, many failures around that time. I would get rid of this thing. I would do whatever you have to do to get rid of it. The Mercedes motor isn't worth screwing with, and putting a Detroit in, it's too expensive. You know, we could run out and buy another 03 Freightliner with the Detroit cheaper than you can put a great motor in this one.
All right, so I just think about $4,000 in it and get that liner replaced and that head replaced. Try to get rid
of
it.
Whatever you have to do to get rid of it, I would not try to salvage this thing and keep it running. It's just not worth it.
All right, I appreciate your help.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Yeah, this is one of those times where it's just better to cut your losses and move on. Let's head off to California. Rick, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for taking my call. I have this air compressor. I've never had issues with air compressors before, and especially like this one. It works well when I'm, overnight and I got the truck shut off. If I go to start it in the morning, it won't build air, and I'll have to run it 10, 15 minutes before it starts working. And then it works just fine, like nothing was ever wrong with it. And I took it into Kenworth, and they just cleaned the air compressor head, they said, and it worked really good for a few weeks, and now it's back doing it again. So what do you think?
Ah, boy, that one sounds a little odd. Usually these are pretty straightforward, but this I don't know that I recall one ever acting like this. Is there a lot of contamination in the air system itself? Are you getting a lot of junk or oil coming out when you try to drain the tanks?
No, nothing at all.
And the air dryer's good?
Yep, as far as I know. And it's got a weird system. They told me that they don't make that air compressor anymore.
Oh, good. So it's probably one I'm not even familiar with then. It sounded to me like if they went in and serviced and cleaned and everything was fine and then it came back again, I mean, my first thought is we've just got some contamination in the system. So, I mean, other than that, it's normally not the compressor itself that causes this problem. It's the governor that starts and stops the compressor. But I would think that's what they would have checked. And it doesn't sound like they messed with the governor. It sounds like they just cleaned something, which I'm not really clear on what they did. Well, I don't know. I'm a little stumped on this one. I think you're just going to have to take it back. They could look for contamination in the system that's causing this, or figure out what's going wrong with the governor, why the compressor doesn't come on. It should be coming on.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that, it used to stop at 120 pounds, you know, and then but now it does it at 130 pounds. And
now, see, that's another indication of the governor screwing up, because that's what stops it and starts it. And we can adjust those. We can adjust them to come on at a different time, go off at a different time. And it sounds like that's really the problem, not the compressor itself.
Okay. All righty. I appreciate it, because I was getting kind of concerned. I know a new air compressor there were telling me it was $1,300 and a little over. And so I really didn't want to put out that kind of money yet. I mean, it's only a 2012 truck, you know. So.
Yeah, and like I say, it sounds like this, if it's a 2012 and they don't even make that compressor anymore, I have no idea what kind of compressor it is. It may even have a different governor than what I'm used to. So without knowing, you know, what the model is or how it works, I just know on most systems, the compressor itself doesn't fail nearly as often as the governor does.
Okay. All right,
and
well, maybe I'll check that out.
If the compressor fails, then it really, you know, you'd see different. This, to me, sounds like the governor is just not coming on or you know, getting the compressor started when it needs to. But I don't know of a compressor that was built in 2012 but not built anymore. Let's to Louisiana. Les, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. Crazy question. If you could take everything off the front of the engine fan, the alternator, the AC, the water pump, and even the power steering, how much horsepower do you think a diesel engine would gain?
Somewhere between 50 and 100. And
okay.
This was actually attempted. This, and I was following, I'm trying to remember, this was back in the 90s, I'm thinking mid to late 90s, Cat and Peterbilt, if I remember right. Cat was definitely a part of this project, and I think Peterbilt was. They took everything off of the engine. The only thing they had the engine doing was propelling the vehicle down the road. They took air conditioning, power steering, water pumps, I mean, everything that was driven off that engine, they took off of it, and they put on a bigger alternator and another set of batteries, and they used the alternator to charge the batteries and then used the batteries to run everything else as electrical instead of being run off the engine. And it was, I thought it was a great project, and it just died. I mean, I was following it for about a year, and they were talking about, you know, all the different components they were developing and all the horsepower and fuel they were going to save, and then it just went away. I have no idea why. I could never find any more information on it.
Well, I was listening to a show on another channel the other day, and they had this inventor who had created a small wood stove for third world nations, and it has a USB port, and they're using thermal voltaics, just
right.
You know, that create electricity from heat. I'm thinking if you could tap into the DPF and the radiator and take all that stuff off the front and free up that much more horsepower, that might help. I know it's one of these new untested technologies, but that just might help with what we're facing in California and the rest of the nation, the 24% gain on the fuel economy.
You know, we also had a company that would check in with me a couple times a year, and they were developing what they called a stealth generator, and they were using that same concept, which is turning heat into electrical energy. And they were going to use all the waste heat off the engine, convert it back to electricity, and use that to run, you know, the way we would a generator. And again, that one, they just kind of fell off the face of the earth. I haven't heard from them in probably 2 years. I mean, there was a time where they thought they were close to releasing something, and I was even going to test it, and we just we never got together, and I haven't heard from him since. So I don't really know what happened with that idea. I think Matt is also investing and looking at a company doing something similar to that. So it seems like we're on the edge of making that work. We're not quite there yet, though. Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Kevin Ross. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. We're down to the final segment. I'm going to get right back to some phone calls. We're going to head off to Nevada. Gary, welcome to the program.
Well, hi, Kevin. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
You're
welcome. I have a question about an air compressor also. Only my issue is it's always kicking on. I'm losing air. I can't figure out how or why. I've gone under the truck, taken soapy water solution, and hit all my connections and everything else. I can't find any leaks, drained my tanks. Everything was clean and everything else. And what happens, what I notice is when I'm driving, once my compressor tops off and stops at 125 PSI, then the air starts going down out of both tanks equally until the compressor kicks on again to fill them up, and it keeps doing that back and forth, back and forth. So is there a possibility I've just got a hidden leak somewhere that I can't hear or see?
Oh, that's exactly what's going on, and this is always a tough thing to find. When we had the shop, Truck City Service, we spent a lot of time trying to find better ways to detect leaks. In fact, that's how we came up with the smoke test on the charger cooler. We thought we could smoke test the air system, so that was why we bought the smoke machine originally, and that was a horrible failure, and we found out why. When you have a system that goes from big tanks down to little fittings to big lines to little fittings, you can't keep the smoke suspended in the air to get through the whole system. So
yeah.
It didn't work, and then we sat there and said, wow, we have a $1,200 smoke machine. What are we going to do with it now? And we came up across the idea of smoke testing the charger cooler, which works excellent. But it does not work in the air brake and the air system on the truck at all. So we still don't know of a good way. What kind of a truck is this?
Oh, it's a Cascadia. It's a 2011 with a DD15. And,
okay, because some models of trucks have, like the Volvo, for example, and I've had lots of Volvos, so I know right kind of underneath the driver's seat but outside of the cab, and it's tough to get to on most of them, is a big manifold where all kinds of airlines run into that manifold and then run back out. And that on the Volvos is notorious for leaking, and it's one of the hard ones to find. So there are certain models, if you've worked with the truck enough, you know where the leaks tend to be. But I'm not aware of a weak point in a system like that on the Cascadia. So this
yeah.
is just a matter of, getting a super quiet place and building up the pressure and going through, get an inspection light. I believe there might even be, I want to say it's kind of like a stethoscope kind of thing. You put the earbuds in your ear, and it's got a wand, and, you can kind of stick it up into places, and if there is an air leak, it'll magnify the sound, and that's another way you might be able to find it.
Yeah, but I tell you, that sounds like trying to find one little microbe in your intestine to cure a problem.
Yeah,
well,
it is, and but that's the only thing that's going to fix this problem. You've got to find the leak.
Yeah, that's what you've told me. Is I'm just going to have to spend more time. It's not going to do me any good to take it to a shop because they're just going to charge me $100 an hour to look for something they won't be able to find probably either.
No, and that's a good point. This is one of those things where even if you're not all that mechanically inclined, it still makes sense to really spend some time yourself trying to find this because they're not going to be any better at it than you are. Most shops aren't anyway. And you're right, you're going to spend $100 an hour when you could just do this yourself. You know, for me, the important thing was get it inside where it's warm and comfortable, get it as quiet as possible, and then just spend time building the pressure up, crawling around. Like I say, there are some, I'm thinking the word you might want to Google search is audioscope, that might help you find this. Let's get to some phone calls. Let's go to Indiana. Walter, welcome to the program.
Yes, Kevin. How are you doing today?
Good. What's on your mind?
Been trying that here for a while. And, of course, like everything else, I just kept going back and forth between the greens and the kinergetic. So the last, matter of fact, a week ago today, I've been on the kinergetic completely. And what
okay.
I find is my arms, my legs are getting very lot of, like, muscle spasms. And my left groin, right up my left right, is so dang sore I can hardly walk. I was just wondering if that got anything to do with that.
It does, and this is a very, very common thing, especially in the beginning, and what I'll explain what's happening and then how to fix this. So when you go fully ketogenic and you get your carbs low enough, your body starts releasing what's called glycogen, and glycogen is the energy stored in your muscles when you are burning sugar and burning carbohydrates. And when you get rid of the carbohydrates out of your body and your body's trying to convert over to burning fat for energy, it drops all that glycogen. But for every molecule of glycogen it drops 3 to 4 molecules of water. People find that they lose a lot of weight in the beginning, they're going to the bathroom a lot more, and it's your body getting rid of that excess water and glycogen. But what happens is it also loses a lot of its minerals. So you've got a mineral imbalance, and that's what's causing all the muscle cramping, and it's very common. So a couple things you want to do. You want to make sure you're getting enough salt because your body just probably lost a lot of salt. You want to make sure you're getting equal amounts of potassium with the salt, and then the third mineral you want to make sure you're getting enough of is magnesium. So look up salt's easy. Just put more good sea salt on your food. Go ahead.
What I use there is I try to use that Himalayan salt mostly.
That's perfect. Yeah. And just add more. You believe it or not, you need more salt right now. Potassium, one of your best sources are avocados. When you're trying to stay ketogenic, you want the high fat, so you're going to get that from the avocado. It's got a lot of potassium. It's got some magnesium. You can also look up high potassium foods and high magnesium foods. And then look
okay.
through the list and see things that you like that are low sugar. And you'll fix that. You can actually turn this around in a day or two. You get enough salt, potassium, and magnesium, and it fixes this pretty quick.
Oh, that's good. All you know is we're kind of worried about it, but since you explained it, that's what we'll do. We'll see what happens.
There you go.
Thanks a lot, Kevin. Thank you. Appreciate
you're welcome.
It.
Give me a call back. But again, really, really common. I hear this from a lot of people. I still get it. If I don't watch those three minerals, and the magnesium is usually the hardest one, but that will certainly solve this problem. You know what, I'm going to squeeze in another phone call before we've got to wrap this up. Aaron in Pennsylvania, it's your turn, go ahead.
Hey Kevin, how you doing?
Good, what's on your mind today?
The compressor problems everybody's having. If you noticed on the ISXs, because we have a lot of those, on the older ISXs, the air intake for the compressor is right next to where the EGR comes back into the intake. And what it's doing is it's sucking soot into the compressor and sticking the valves, and they got to replace the heads. What it does is stick the valve to the open position, and it's bleeding backwards.
Oh, that makes sense.
And you can't find the leak. That's the only where the leak's at is there. And you won't hear it.
That makes total sense. So the compressor will run, but it's not pumping air properly because the valves are sticking. That makes total sense.
Yep, and when you shut the truck off, it backfeeds through the compressor because the valves are stuck open.
Yep.
So you lose all your air. The 2015s, they changed it, and now it picks up the air right next to the air cleaner. So.
Got it.
That's all I had.
That's all I need. Good stuff, though. I appreciate that. That makes total sense, and it's something we never used to have to deal with. So, going back to the mineral balance when you're first becoming ketogenic or even later on, avocados are excellent because you're going to get both the potassium and the magnesium. Other things for magnesium, dark leafy greens, most nuts and seeds are pretty high. Dark chocolate can help. So pay attention to those three minerals, salt, potassium, and magnesium. That'll take care of it. I'm off out of time. We'll see you back here next show. Be safe. Be profitable. Do the hard work and master the journey. I'm Kevin Ruff. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us today. We're going to cut it short. We're just doing 1 hour today. Be sure to join us tomorrow. We'll do both trucking business and beyond questions and destination health as well. So we'll see you then. Thanks.